Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm thrilled to introduce you to Jessica and Stephanie from Harmony Harvest Farm, flower growers, frog makers, and shippers of all. Located in the beautiful Shenandoah Valley of Virginia, they are a family-owned and operated farm that brings the magic of fresh-cut flowers shipped to your door directly from the farm. They love to share their passion for fresh-cut flowers through handcrafted bouquets and curated DIY flower boxes. Flower obsessed, they are also the owners of Floral Genius, the only U.S. manufacturer of handcrafted flower frogs. Welcome to the show, Jessica and Stephanie. It's great to have you both on today.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for having us today.
Hello.
I'm Jessica. I'm here with my sister, Stephanie.
Hi.
And we are just super excited to talk about like all of our favorite things, flowers, frogs, farming, feelings, fun, all the good stuff.
All the things.
The whole wad.
You guys are loads of fun. So I'm really excited to get into this and share with the laughers, you two beautiful ladies. And I can't wait to hear more about this Harmony Harvest Farm. Because your website says in 2011, with a creative knack, a family of farmers decided to break the rules, and the result was Harmony Harvest. I want to hear more. Can you tell us the story?
Oh, yeah. Like, totally can tell you the family story. So we are actually a multi-generational farm. And just like you said, we are also rule breakers. So we were not started by the oldest generation that's involved. My mom and I actually partnered together to start Harmony Harvest. It was my idea. And we as a family kind of grew up farming with parents who also worked on a very small level. And we did family vacations. Our best ideas always came from family vacations. And it was sitting on the beach when my mom said, where do flowers come from? That the idea of kind of getting into cut flower farming kind of hit our family radar. And we found that it kind of aligned with all of our values and our interests and the things we wanted to build. And the family says I'm the master manipulator. So not only did I talk my mom into, hey, like this would be a really great idea. Let's do it. A few years later, I was able to weasel my way into cunning my sister to moving a whole state away back home and working at the farm as well. So
yeah, which I would just like to point out that for years and we're years, I said, I am not moving back to work on your stupid flower farm.
Yeah.
Here I am, chewing those words to this day.
It's one of those things where I have always been somebody who just said, like, this is the life I would like to live. Okay, let's build that. You know, I left college, studied horticulture. I met my husband at Tech, and say my love story started with flowers. And I was like, I want to join the family business, but there wasn't one. So I'll just make one and force my family to join it with me. And my husband,
it's true.
And our four kids, we literally live at the farm. Like the shop, everything that happens is in our backyard. It is like a lot of cliche about like, we're like a family, but we are legitimately like a family in all the good ways. And we like that we've built this kind of community around flowers. And we found our rhythm. We found our voice there on that farm. And we figured out a way of sharing that. And when we say we broke the rules, we did in our industry as well. So over 80% of flowers sold in the U.S., have been imported. there is very few American-grown flowers. And farms are becoming smaller and smaller and going out of production. And so it was important to us, really loving the Valley heritage of agriculture, and seeing this industry that we were growing so fondly of, that had felt these hiccups, and we wanted to raise awareness and we wanted to make it better. Flowers, we were always told that you just can't do the logistics of shipping flowers. It's just not something you could do. However, I was watching really big growers in like Ecuador put flowers in boxes and get them to a different country. So it was like, there has to be a way I can do this internally. There's also like, there's reasons that nobody else has done it because it's really freaking hard. But we were the pioneers of figuring out how to ship directly off the farm, farm fresh bouquets nationwide overnight. And we figured out and started doing that right before COVID hit. But we were really focusing on wholesale because we were also, I was a farmer florist. So I was growing flowers and designing weddings. And the people I knew in the industry were other designers. It felt very easy to sell to wholesalers versus retail. And when COVID happened, again, we broke the rules and we jumped into delivering flowers for everyday people. And literally, that is when our passion ignited. And we figured out, like, this is what we love, because we started connecting with every single bloom that left the farm. We would literally, my sister and I were filling all the orders, and we would be standing in the shop and reading like, oh my gosh, this lady had the cutest little baby. Listen to this description of this mom sending flowers. And we got really connected with everybody's stories. And we've made a lot of friends along the way and have built our business with our own community. It's been a really fun ride for us to see the power of what we can do with flowers.
Yeah. And it is funny because, like, really reading the notes, which it sounds creepy. For maybe some places, you know, don't read all the notes, but just so you know, for the laughers out there, people read the notes. So, had some ones that were like, oh, okay, it's going to be a good night tonight. you know, it's great because, like, those, like, just all the reasons that people were staying connected during COVID, like, we're so, you know, it, like Jess said, it ignited our passion. We realized, like, this is what we want to do. Like, wholesale is really fun. Like, we love our florist people, but, like, you know, just being able to connect, like, just anybody, together, especially through, you know, pandemic times, was really, really special.
And we have built such a fun tribe. Like, we're a small, tight-knit group, and it is a lot of family, and all of us are friends, and it's sharing that. So the girl who kind of makes every order run smoothly off of that farm has a real connection with all the orders that go out. And so it's so funny how often and frequently orders will come in and the note is directed towards her. They didn't want to leave a recipient note to who they were sending the flowers, but they'll be like, hey, Rudy, I just see you all the time on Instagram and I just think you're the greatest. And so it's not just having a relationship, you know, with Steph and I. And by the way, like I said, we run this with our mom. Yeah. And we are three girls that are real, if you can't tell, chatty and strong. So we call ourselves the trifecta. And while our mom's legal name is Chris, she really goes by the Lady Monarch. And
that's a legit title. That's a legit title.
She has butterfly wings in the whole nine yards. We share all of that. Like, it's literally how this farm runs. And people are like, oh, come on. Do you really run around with butterfly wings?
Yes.
Yes, we do. Ask the delivery guy, because there are times when he can't get the packages because he has to wait for the Lady Monarch to cross in front of him. This is how we choose to live our life, and it's really fun. And we have been able to share that through our business and allow other people to do it. So that's a really, I think, great part of what we've been able to build.
Plus, the whole thing gets real stressful. And sometimes it's easy to like deal with that stress if you're in an inflatable koala costume. With your brother-in-law who may or may not be in a Sasquatch costume. Like, sometimes you just need it.
So I'm hearing you guys basically play as hard as you work. Would be accurate?
Yes, because the business consumes our life. Like, any entrepreneur would tell you that. The business consumes your life. So you can either choose to make it, like, serious business all the time, or you can choose to, like, go a little lighthearted at it. Like, yes, we're very serious a lot of the a portion of the time.
Yeah.
business. But like, you know, you have to have a sense of humor. You cannot take yourself too seriously. You have to remember the things that you can control and you can't control. And since so many things are out of our control these days, the one thing that we can control is what costume we're going to wear. And we take that very seriously.
There's power in positive.
You're right.
We're a team. We've worked really hard, my mom, my sister, and I, to build a community that includes the farmers that work with us and the community that supports us to kind of break the rules, to change and make things run from a more community driven aspect. And I will say, like, we have a hierarchy, we have a chain of allegiance, but we also have team communication, input, and empowerment from all levels. Like, our customers sometimes are the biggest wins for us, saying, hey, you know, I got flowers from you and I was thinking X, Y, and Z. And it's like, that's a great idea. And I can do something with that. And then sharing, like, that wasn't just my win. Hey, look at this amazing customer that helped us and is part of our team. So it's really just making this feel like it's more of a community. It's not just a business, you know? And while we live in it, we don't expect that from everyone. So we balance quality life for everyone. And like, honestly, what, we're all at work more than we're usually with our family. Shouldn't that place be fun?
Yeah.
We can get a lot done. We can get a lot done. And I'm always one of those people, like, you can attract way more flies with honey than you can vinegar. And the supply chain nightmare that we are all living in, I am finding that to really kind of go far.
Yeah. Speaking of which, you had mentioned earlier that when you were first getting started in this business, it was, you know, really hard. You figured it out, was really hard. What would you say is the hardest part of running your business?
Prioritizing good ideas.
Okay. Yeah.
Prioritizing good ideas. Honestly, like that's the I mean, listen, you can figure anything out, right?
Right.
Logistics. How do you ship perishables? How do you make your website work? How do you do this? But it's like it's one of those things where it's like you open up cans of worms everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have another good idea and another good idea. And, you know, with a small team, you can only do so much. And Jess is a visionary, so she's just oozing with good ideas. And I am a integrator, which I like to say I'm an executioner, but it's finding that balance. Like, you have to have both, right? You have to have your visionary and you have to have your integrator. But how does the integrator not, you know, freak out with overwhelmingness with all the oozy vision stuff? And that's the hardest part for us.
Yeah,
that's the hardest part. So prioritizing and good ideas.
We didn't come from any real strong lineage that left us large troves of wealth.
Mean either.
So we
always joke that we just should have married rich. And I'm just like, I love my husband.
But I have a 12-year-old. I'm careful with where she says that. But yeah. We're feisty. We're aggressive. we're smart. We have put smarter people than us at the table with us to help make smart decisions. But we could roll like we were wealthy because those are the types of dreams we have. But then we have to be creative in how we get there and the growth strategy, because growth sounds great until you're trying to finance that growth, especially tight supply chain. So like right now, I keep telling myself, like, you have to wake up and like get your mind around it. And you know what? If I can make it right now, think about how easy it's going to be when it's easy.
Like, yeah, there it is.
Got to find silver linings. And, yeah, you know, trying to make sure that we have really good plans in place to move forward and the team knows what the plan is and that we move forward. But that when that doesn't happen, we can pivot as a team, not get discouraged, and find another route to get to the goal. And so there's just been a lot of that with the growth scaling. So we're learning, like, and I think the second we stop learning, we stop really, growing this business. So I'm reading the books. My, husband is taking classes on the side. So I'm like, what are you learning in that Excel that I can glean? Cause I am not great at the technology and trying to come up quick.
And if there's any billionaires listening, I will trade you $1 trillion for a bouquet subscription. I'm just saying.
I think this is fair. I think this is totally fair. That's creative. I'm open to it. I love what you guys, you know, basically the message in there is, you know, learning from what didn't work. One of my most impactful phrases that really hit home for me came from a pastor on a mission trip to Turkey. And it still has, that was in 1999, and it still sticks with me today. And he said, expectation is your enemy, flexibility is your friend.
Oh, yes. That's a good one.
Isn't that? That has so stuck with me. Right? You know, and yeah, that's kind of what you're talking about in terms of pivoting with the team. And, you know, maybe that's just, yeah, you had learning something from that and taking a new direction that'll actually make the growth strategy work even better. And you wouldn't have gotten there without, you know, having the initial attempt, you know. So I really love the message in that. That's incredible. I want to talk more about your flowers too. You are farmers as well as designers who deliver stunning. You're all the things. Yes, you are all the things. Also hilarious. And I love this. You deliver stunning premium bloom and fresh cut flowers to floral enthusiasts across the United States of America. And what are you hoping to inspire in them and in our world with them?
Oh, happiness.
It's the best question ever, because I think it goes straight to the, what our business embodies, which is just helping folks discover a better life through flowers. And whether that's appreciating a moment in time, a gesture from someone else, whether that's me being able to like provide for my kids or our crew being able to have the life that they want through the farm, there are things we can all benefit through flowers, what we can gain through flowers. So for us, it's literally putting out there just the crack of the door to something better. What we grow physically is flowers. What we provide is people's emotions. You know, it's just something that can't be replaced because it is fleeting. Our emotions come, our emotions go, they change. We want to give that to someone. It doesn't last forever. It's the same thing with the bouquet. It's something so special. You cannot represent that with a thing. And so I think the power, that they have, and it, like, this is culture. There's so much, we have done so much research. I'm like a flower nerd now. There's so historical information that talks about how significant flowers have been as a token of our emotions and how we represent to others, that it's a really intimate thing, that it feels good to be the provider of that, to be the conduit of that, to help others who maybe are missing that and needing that connection and needing to feel represented, that we can provide an outlet.
Mm. Stephanie, would you add anything to that?
Yes. Let's see. Everybody, like, I think the best thing about flowers is that literally they're just so continental, right? Like there are a few people that I know that don't like flowers, and that's okay. If you don't like flowers, there's a chance that you know somebody who does, and that's a great gift for them. So it's like the one thing that really like kind of connects people. And the other thing about that too is I believe that everybody has a flower story, and it's like, could be one of those things where like you smell something and it's nostalgic and you remember like your grandmother had these flowers in her window, or, you know, when you had a baby, somebody brought this flower and you didn't know what it was. And then you found out now it's your favorite flower. And so it's tattooed on you. I don't know. I mean, I just really feel like it's a connector, right? Like everybody at some point in their life has a flower story and can, you know, connect with what we're doing. And I think it just kind of goes even deeper to like, this is how we connect with each other. So it's really, you know, in a time where, you know, and I say in a time, listen, there's always been parts of our history where people don't like connect, right? It just seems very verbalized now, and it's important. And I think that this is something that's really consistent, that people can, you know, really connect with each other over. It's like food. It's just food for your soul, not for your belly.
Mm, I love that. Yeah, I love flowers too. That's just something so intimate about them, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not a floral designer, but you guys are. So for your everyday flowers, what's that?
Jessica. Am not.
Okay, so Jessica's the designer. Well, Jessica, yeah, for the everyday flowers then, what is available, by the way, in terms of what you guys have? And then what goes into creating your beautiful bouquets?
So right now, I'm like so excited. Yesterday, I actually got to spend the morning harvesting with the farm team, working out some new processes. And it felt so good to be a harvester again, because that was how I started this journey. And I don't get to do it as frequently as I would like right now. And I was standing in the prettiest patch of ranunculus, which, if you have not seen that, that is the belle of the ball for a spring flower. Forget your roses. You want ranunculus. They are phenomenal and they come in just a variety of colors. But we were harvesting ranunculus and daffodils and anemone. Right now we have a beautiful American grown bouquet available on our website, as well as our tulip bouquet. And we have a deluxe version of that with some of the specialty ones that are always my favorite. And so we actually just started year round production. So like you would think flowers outside, even with our greenhouses that up until this past year were not heated, we weren't able to provide flowers during the earliest months of the year. And last year we received a FedEx small business grant, and we were able to renovate one of our greenhouses, heat it, and be able to have flowers much earlier, close that gap. In addition to that, we've also partnered with a couple of other US growers. So there's a good friend of ours that happens to be in Gloucester, Virginia, Bloomia. They only grow tulips, but they grow beautiful tulips by the hundreds of thousands. And we represent their tulips in our tulip bouquet. So it's another way, since they don't ship, that we can get their story out because it works so well with ours, and work with other farmers. So buying one bouquet can help a couple of farm families kind of in this industry. So when we're working on how we design bouquets, so that's changing a lot, because up until this year, it's just been creative Jess going in the cooler.
Literally being an animal.
Being an animal.
Just being about it.
People would be like, I ordered a bouquet and she sent me a semi truck. And then my mom the Lady Monarch is in charge of finances.
Yes.
So when the emails came in over complimenting the size of the bouquets, we were just trying to figure out what we could do, right? So that whole first year was trying to figure out stuff. And then we were like, okay, so some of them get smushed when Jess tries to put 20 pounds of flowers in a box. Let's actually figure out what looks good together. So it was going through, our farm grows over 200 different types of flowers. Okay.
Wow.
A lot. So we kind of went through and figured out how to categorize our flowers and then what we kind of like to see together within those categories. So as the season changes, different flowers might be in those categories, but we can kind of keep the ratio similar to working out and figure out what looks good. And then it's a team effort. People will be out in the field and they're like, we have a whole bunch of this that looks amazing. Let's see if they want to make a new bouquet with that. So the team sometimes comes up with our best ideas in how we launch new products. But the early season flowers are always super exciting because everybody feels winter starved for some color. And we've been shipping out bouquets from the farm since, I think this year we started up middle of January. We've been shipping out consistently, and it's so nice to every day see the stacks of beautiful flowers leaving literally my backyard. Aww. And make people happy across the country. Yeah. It's rewarding for all of us that work so hard over the winter to like, can we do it? I don't know. And when we started year-round growing and when we were trying to figure out, okay, well, if we can't do it, is there any other options here? We shared that journey with our community, with, you know, the people who are buying the bouquets. Everyone feels really connected to watching the progress and seeing this grow and developing it. What can we do with flowers together?
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I'm curious now, Stephanie, then if Jessica is the designer, what is your role in the business?
Well, I'll tell my most important role is we have a design YouTube series called Designing with the Idiot, and I am the idiot.
Oh, so
very important. I do marketing. So I lived in Charlotte, North Carolina for a while, and in that like adventure part of my life decade, I did some event management, but actually landed at a digital marketing agency. So when my sister was like, we're going to ship flowers and we're going to sell them online, I was like, do you have any clue what that is? And she was like, no, but we're still going to do it. So that was where the hook kind of came like really close to the mouth and then eventually went in and I got sucked in. Yeah, really, because I would go to her and I'm like, well, you're working in event designs. Don't you want to come help me with weddings? No. Okay. Well, you bought a house and you're working in your backyard garden. Don't you want to come help me grow flowers? No. Okay. I need a website and you design websites. Will you come? And then it was like, okay.
She just wears me down.
So I actually do all of the marketing. I am like the, you know, marketing person. You know, really, I'm like, honestly, I would get nothing done without Zoe, but Zoe's our marketing coordinator. She's amazing. I do that, but that's like 50%. The other 50%, which is the actual reason that I ended up back here, probably more so than anything, was that in 2016, Jess and I purchased this manufacturing company called Floral Genius, which I'm sure we'll talk about. And as you know, co-owner of that business, it was time for me to like, I needed to be in the same state as the business at least. So, I am, you know, over a lot of, you know, what happens with Floral Genius as well. So,
yay. I love it. You guys are an amazing and a powerful team. You have wonderful resources on your site for us too, like your flower forecast. I found that very interesting. And also flower care. So you have this YouTube series. I imagine you might have some key pro tips on arranging for us amateur flower lovers wanting to create our own bouquets. What are some of those key tips for us quote unquote idiots?
We got to start here. We got to start basic level. Number one, out the gate, change your base water.
Change your base water.
Every day you need to keep clean. Are you going to drink that water left over from yesterday's morning bedside?
I mean, we do, but we regret it, right?
Right.
Right. So if you just literally dump out, run fresh, new water, best thing you could do to extend the life of your flowers. I think also one of the key things that I see when people get bouquets, take the time to take them apart and put each stem in the vase one by one, as opposed to the whole bunch at one time.
Okay, I do. I am a shove it in the vase, forget it, move on. You can do that.
All of the non-designers out there, the people who just aren't like, just give me the flowers and let me enjoy that. Shove them in a vase. It's not a big deal. Change your vase water. But is that a big deal? But
as the designer, I say enjoy the flowers, take the 10 minutes, place each stem in the vase and really appreciate it. You'll notice things that you wouldn't if you shoved the whole design. You got that sleeve bouquet and you just put it in the vase. There's probably a really cool twist to a stem, an unopened bloom, maybe a different kind of mottled leaf that you wouldn't be able to appreciate if you don't take it apart and place it in the container stem by stem. And when you're doing that, give it a fresh angled cut on the bottom, because flower stems are just like straws. And if it were to go straight down on that vase, if you've ever put your straw right at the bottom flat on your milkshake and you can't suck it up, same happens for the flowers. If you put an angled cut on your stem, there's not a way for it to create a watertight lock on your vase so the flower can take up more water. So angled cuts, I say appreciate the beauty and place each stem, and always making sure that you change your vase water. Like, those are the top things. And really, like, it's flowers. They're beautiful. Can you really mess up something that's already so natural?
No, you can't. And here's another thing too, is that, like, I get it. Like, you see all these floral designers doing all this amazing stuff on Instagram and where have you, but you know what? They have spent decades of their life learning. And as long as whatever you put in that vase feels pretty to you, then it's perfect. Like, it doesn't have to look like something specific or something you've seen. Like, just give yourself a break, put the flowers in the way that make you happy, and just, you know, live your life and be happy with it, because, like, they're your flowers. Like, they're nobody else's. The professionals that are doing them have this really stressful part of what they're doing, which these flowers are actually for someone else, right? Mm-hmm. So that other person has to like them, which means there has to be, like, you know, some kind of whatever aesthetic to them. These are yours. Do whatever you want. Do whatever makes you happy. Don't stress about it. I'm sure it looks great. Move on with your life. Enjoy your flowers.
And I'm going to give one actual more pointed one for anybody who's out there is like, yeah, that all feels good, but, like, give me one. Aesthetically speaking, quick life hack. If you want to make a big impact on a room, a single type bouquet in a vase will always win the day. So if you're like, I don't know how to put it together, that feels stressful and complicated, like our tulip bouquet, one variety, it's quick, it's easy, it goes in a vase, it always looks good because it's in great company.
Oh, like, so you don't mean just like all the same color, same flower. You're talking about one variety of flower. So it can be multiple colors or single color theme, just all the same type of flower. That is a very good tip. Now, on this angled cut, is there a specific length? Like, it should cut at least an inch or 2 inches? And, you know, what would you say about that?
Yeah, I always take about a half of an inch to an inch off of the bottom of my stem, just so that I can make sure we're further up where the plant is probably already got water within kind of the flow chain of its straw, we'll say. So I would say about a half inch to an inch up, but nobody's measuring this.
That's true.
Like, literally, I have twin six-year-old boys, and their designs are just fine. And sometimes they might forget to cut that stem where I said, and it's minuscule removed, or they removed most of it. A good just kind of break. If you notice at the bottom of the stem, like, I have done what you said and changed my base water for 2 weeks and trimmed my stems every couple days, and today it is nasty and brown for 2 inches, cut all of that off. You can the flowers actually live much longer than we kind of give them credit for, but we just have to give them a little bit of daily like check-ins, and like, you should be checking in with your emotions anyways. So I like to put them in high touch areas beside my bed, in the bathroom, dining room table, wherever my kids have made a mess and I just need to hide it. Flowers are great at that. Yeah. Nobody notices your clutter if you have bougie flowers sitting out. They're like, oh wow, I like your flowers. Works every time.
Keep them out of direct sunlight after they're cut. When they're on the plant, they love the sun. When they're off the plant, they hate the sun.
Yeah. Really?
Yes. So you want to keep your flowers out of direct sunlight because it will just make them...
They go through their life cycle faster.
Yeah.
So if you let's say you got them and you're like, they need to be like 3 days from now, tomorrow. I have an event. I want these to look really great tomorrow. And they look like maybe they're 3 days from that. If you put them in sunlight and warm water, you can speed up the process. So if you're like, come on, quick, open up and be pretty, Lily. I want to see you. You can put them in sunlight and put them in warm water. So the reverse is true. If you're like, nah, these are pretty right now, and I want to see how long that will last. We don't want hot water or hot conditions. We just want room temperature or a little on the cool side and out of direct sunlight. So it is like weird science. And we do this with the kids. Like, it's kind of cool. Like, let's move them around. Some of the flowers will continue to grow in vase like tulips, and they will move towards the sun. So you can like, ooh, let's manipulate this guy and turn an arrangement, turn your vase and watch the flowers move with it. The flowers and enjoying the bouquets that we sent out are really meant to be interactive. You know, this is not just like set it in the corner and that, okay. They continue to provide joy. I can tell you, we put flowers on the table and our house is happy. You just naturally walk by, it catches your eye a little longer and it gives you a reason to smile.
Yeah, it does. Speaking of interactive and connecting with emotions and what the weird science of the flowers, how involved are your husbands in creating bouquets?
My husband's not. He likes to walk by and be like, oh, those are pretty. But he has a career that keeps him very, very busy. And we just...
he does a phenomenal job as Uncle Batman to my kids.
Yeah, Uncle Batman. Yeah,
so
that's his involvement. Yeah, but... Jess's husband, on the other hand, very involved.
My husband is very involved, besides being the one that puts on the Sasquatch costume. And, you know, anytime we need a reminder on how the tractor works or maybe an extra set of hands and a chainsaw is involved, he'll jump in and help on the farm. However, that farm really runs with 100% pretty much girl power.
Yeah.
My husband's major contribution is actually the second company that my sister said that we run, Floral Genius. So we manufacture design tools. We're that crazy about flowers and wanting people to enjoy them that we bought an existing company that manufactured what are called flower frogs. And when we did that and we moved the company to Virginia and built it in my backyard, we realized we didn't know how to actually make the product.
So we just kind of basically moved a bunch of, built a foundry and put her husband in there and said, you can make these things, right?
Like in your spare time, because he does have a full-time job.
And we're like, well, you can make these, right? And he's like, guys. But very well.
And I'm still married. How about that?
Oh, that's good.
So all good things.
So he actually runs the production side of our manufacturing that happens on the farm. And then Harmony Harvest is kind of our storefront for a lot of the frogs that we sell that are Floral Genius brand. So we grow flowers. We also make the design tools. We do all of the things right on the flower farm.
Yes. Oh, yes. This is a good time to talk a little bit more about these design tools, the flower frogs and the hairpins, because the professional designers, it sounds like they would know all about those. But for us amateurs, what are those and why would we want to use them?
So it's a funny story, because when Jess, one day Jess calls me, I'm living in Charlotte, and she says, I want to buy a company and I want you to do it with me. And I was like, okay. she's a manufacturing company. And I was like, we don't know anything about manufacturing, but what are we making? And she's like, flower frogs. And I'm like, what in God's name is a flower frog? So, you know, obviously I know what they are now, but flower frogs in a nutshell, when you get a flower arrangement, it's got floral foam in it, right? That green foamy stuff that holds the, that stuff is really bad for the environment. It's not biodegradable, and it also creates microplastics. So when you dump that green base water into down your sink, the later frogs, fishes, all those people, animals, the fishes and the frogs and all the marine life is then, you know, get like breathing and eating, I don't know, filtering through their gills, microplastics. So it's not. The other thing too is it does have carcinogens in it. So our floral professionals who have spent their entire career, years, you know, decades and decades, hovering over floral foam, and you're cutting it when it's dry, so it's dusty in there, and breathing that in, it's just not super great. So the flower frog was actually, it's not a new invention. It was the precursor to floral foam that they used before floral foam was brought to the market. And basically it's a flower holder, right? So instead of putting foam in your vase and sticking your flowers in it, you're putting a metal flower frog. It looks like a disc that has spikes coming out of it. One of our styles, another one looks like it's a disc that has hairpins coming out of it. And you can imagine that's called the hairpin holder, that you stick at the bottom of your vase and then you insert your flowers into it. And these things, you know, the ones that we make, particularly, not all of them, but the ones that we make are super durable. So you could use them for decades. And I'm not kidding when I say decades, because people are still finding the hairpin holders that were originally invented in 1936 in antique shops and in great shape, because you can just use them over and over and over again. So it's a conversation piece. It's a sustainable flower arranger. It's just something really neat to play with, especially if you like flowers, and they're really easy to use. And so we are the only U.S. makers of flower frogs, and we're the only people in the world that make the hairpin holder. And, you know, also being the first people shipping flowers directly from the farm, we thought that we were so cool to be like the first and the only. But, you know, there's reasons for these things. It's really hard. And you know, it's been a journey. But we're really, really proud of where we're at. And we just keep growing. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's really. Go ahead, Jessica.
I'm just going to say from the design side.
I was just going to ask. I wanted to know why a designer loved them. So you just go ahead, girl, because I was going to ask that question.
So let me tell you, like, I started my career over the green foam blocks, and it just took a lot of stuff to cover all of that up. And then I was kind of like, I don't know, some of this stuff, because that green foam will get clogged in the flower straw that it's sucking everything it needs out of that foam up through. And I would have flowers that would just sporadically go down. And I'm like, I hate this. Like, that flower is fine if it was just in a vase of water, but I put it in this and I'm having issues. And I just felt like it was a lot to cover. And what I love about the flower farm and what I wanted to highlight in my designs was how nature was, how it's loose, how it's wispy, how there's negative space, like how one stem could really stand on its own and look beautiful amongst a mass. And I wasn't able to achieve that with how dense the foam made me work. And when I started looking at the designs that were more in line with what I wanted to achieve, it was this old mechanic. And so as I learned how to use these, what it showed me is that it makes the way that you create something pretty almost go away. Because with using a flower frog, the stem almost is uninterrupted. So it's a beautiful standalone statement. And quite honestly, by using those now, I can really appreciate one, two, three stems in a design where I couldn't get something that felt quite so impactful when I didn't have a way of achieving that. So it almost just makes it look like it's growing from the table. I also watch all of these trends of what we're seeing more and getting rid of the actual vase component. I'm seeing more and more Pinterest pictures that have what looks like it's growing right out of the table. Those designs are all achieved with frogs because it allows the mechanic to virtually disappear with maybe a little bit of moss covering or even just a specific flower placement. You can make something super impactful. So we also found that while as high-end designers, that is, you know, a coveted design style, this tool makes it really easy to do that. On the flip side, people who are like, I know nothing about design, could truly appreciate a minimalistic couple of stem placement in a frog, or then feel that they have the confidence to build out an arrangement with the use of a frog. So we do a lot of classes. We do a lot of YouTube tutorials to kind of break this down and show folks how it's actually like super easy. And one of my favorite things that the frogs provide to people who are like, I'm just trying to learn this. When you use foam, if you put a stem in and you decide I don't like that and I want to take it out, you now have an air hole. If another stem gets lodged in there, it's not sucking up water and it can break apart. With the flower frogs, it changes the dynamics. You can literally pull out a stem, put it in a different place, and it doesn't change anything else. So you have way more flexibility in interacting with your design as you create it, or even as you care with it over time. Because when I do designs for my house, I always use frogs and I always catch the whole family rearranging it because it makes it more interactive. So for me, I find that it's a much easier, it's a really simple utilitarian tool, but it's one that I would never be caught without. And if you ever are cleaning out great Aunt Betty's underneath her kitchen sink, that's why you found flower frogs, because she knew it was the most awesome utilitarian tool.
Wow. Are they expensive? These design tools, these flower frogs.
They have cost $1 billion, but let them go at quite a steal on the website.
If you ask me how much they should cost, I'll say $1,000 a piece. But that doesn't work.
If you go to the website, they're much cheaper.
No, they range anywhere from $6 for the smaller sizes, and they can get up to in the $30 range. But at the same time, you have them forever. This is not a one-time use thing. This is like you have this thing and you use it forever, and that you wash them and you just put them on the shelf. And then next time you get some flowers, you pull it out and you use it forever because they're made of not of rust-free materials. So they're really durably made. And we're really proud of ours because yes, you can order them on Amazon and they will come out of, you know, somewhere abroad. And they're just not as good. Like the pins, the nails that are in them are shorter and they're farther apart. So they don't really hold the flowers. And a lot of times they're made with low grade materials. So over time they will rust. But ours, nope, no rusting. Keep them forever. Like we hang on. You know what I mean?
Like, and so, I am really hard on them to see what kind of abuse they will take. And I'm telling you. They are definitely like some tough, sturdy little things.
Yeah.
Like if it makes it out of my house of four kids, we say that it's prison grade, and they are.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. You mentioned courses too, that you can teach people how to put these arrangements together. I noticed too, you had a mom growing course available. Are these courses in person or online? What are they all about? Tell us more about that.
They're
both. I know they're both. So we have a couple different ways that we talk about flowers. You can, like, we have stuff on our Instagram that we do. We also have like our YouTube Designing with an Idiot, where we kind of, you know, demystify flower arranging. And then we also have in-person workshops. So we do these at some of our favorite places around the valley, and some at our farm when weather is appropriate. So we'll be launching some really awesome on-farm events this year. But then we have the mum course, and Jess could talk about that.
Oh my gosh.
Loves mums.
If anybody asks what my favorite flower is, it's the chrysanthemum. And if you're like, why would you pick such a boring flower? It's because you've clearly not met my chrysanthemums.
True.
I am on like a personal bucket list mission to save the heirloom chrysanthemum varieties. And I have amassed quite a large private collection of flowers that don't look like what we think about when we go to the pumpkin patch and we see the scarecrow with the bushel basket and the mum. These are big, bold, and powerful and beautiful blooms.
They're crazy. Like, I'll be honest, listen, didn't know anything about flowers. Jess kept talking about these mums. I move up here and I'm like, okay, Jess, like the mums are, I can get those at Food Lion. Why do you like them so much? And then she shows me the mums and I'm like, these are not mums though. These are some other, some of them look like dahlias. And I'm not kidding. Like they have just this like wide variety that you would never, you'd be like, what kind of flower is that? And if somebody said a mum, you would like, your brain would blow up. Mine almost did. I'm not kidding. And they're amazing.
They are. And so the other really great part is it's one of the last flowers that we have before we hit the Christmas holiday season. And so we do a lot of mum bouquets. We talk a lot and we supply crazy amounts of mums. But we also, one time a year in January, we offer for sale our mum root plants. And so this year was our second or third year offering the plants. And we love it. It was so much fun to grow with people who were getting plants from us. And this year, after doing that for a few seasons, we decided, like, let's really grow with people. So we still have some of our mum plants available, I believe, on the website up until June. But we have we put together a course that kind of walks through this crop with us and how we do it month by month. It's one of the few crops that we actually touch every single month of the year. So it's very interactive. And so we all fall madly in love with this flower. And there's so many cool things about what you can do with it, how you can change and manipulate things. So it's a really kind of interactive, which goes right with what we're trying to do, crop that we decided to put the course together. And it's been a lot of fun to watch people kind of growing along with us this whole season and trying to answer all of those questions that I had when I kind of first started this journey.
And that one is virtual.
That is a virtual. That's so,
but it's got really great videos of Jess
that are. Oh, wrong. Yeah, there we go.
Oh, yeah, they do one take. Listen, marketing is really fun. Video editing is not a skill set. So we do one takes on everything. And I think they came out pretty darn good. But yeah, that course is virtual. And I think it was really, it actually answered a need too, because as we were like talking about, like people were seeing these mum crops and it was, you know, home gardeners, other flower farmers. And they were like, how in God's name are you doing this? And we were like, well, you know, we grow stuff. And so it was a lot easier for us to put, you know, a kind of a guide together. Like, this is how we do it. And we've got an amazing response from it. And people, you know, are so excited. We see people posting pictures all the time of, these are my mums and I'm so excited. And look how, you know, they're growing. And, da, 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 da. And it's really fun because we do feel like, you know, a little piece of us
and Harmony Harvest
is now like
out there
in the ground somewhere else. It's really fun.
That's so great. Yeah, you have a lot of flowers. So you sell them in bulk directly from your farm for floral designers and DIY wedding flowers as well. So are those available all year?
So, okay, we're seasonal still, right? We talk about how we try to grow year round, but you know, we're getting there. So right now, all of our wholesale flowers we offer starting about mid-April. We have a spring collection that we'll offer wholesale. And then from June to October, we have our color palette collections. And basically what these are, is there's four different color palettes. We have Blanc, which is white. We have Vibrant, which is vibrant. We have Soft, which is soft. And then we have Essentials, which is this like weird stuff that we love. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and these bulk flower boxes are great for, yes, floral designers who, you know, are looking to incorporate American grown flowers into their designs, but also for DIY brides, people with events who like, you know, I just want to throw some flowers in a mason jar and roll.
These are barbecues.
Perfect for that. So we offer those June to October. But we do, in our DIY boxes, we do have some other ones, other DIY boxes. The Farmer's Choice box, which is 100% like just what goes in the cooler and like, you know, picks whatever her heart likes. And then that's like a DIY box that you can buy that's not like massive in bulk. But yeah, so those we do offer bulk flowers year round for local wedding pickup. But as far as shipping, we're kind of in that April to October range.
Yeah. Okay. So our premise for how we've kind of built out offering the flowers is really thinking about like, this shouldn't be complicated and they should be available to everyone as much as we can. So in order to do that, we've definitely changed up some things like weddings. We were doing a lot of travel to set up weddings. And we also, it's a long process where it's like, I don't know what my budget needs to be because I don't know how much flowers are. And I have to go through this whole awkward process, not really knowing until I get my quote. And you know, I always felt bad for brides that were in that situation, but it was hard when everything was custom. So what we did is after all of our years of wedding services, we kind of picked out what, okay, these are the categories that 90% of our brides would fall in as far as style and color options. And we just built out a pickup option completely a la carte on the website where a bride can sit and kind of put whatever she wants in her little basket and decide, okay, we're going to put some stuff back and never have to like have that weird conversation. And it also helped us really find the wedding customers that felt like they really wanted to work with Harmony Harvest. You know, you're getting fresh off the farm. This is my general color palette, but I'm not married to any specifics because I really care about where my things are coming from. And so it allowed us to tell our story in a setting that allowed people to feel more empowered to, okay, well, what is that? Oh, let me read about that. No, I don't need that for my wedding. Or yeah, that sounds really great. Let me see if I can make that work. And so we just kind of changed up our whole setup for that. And it's working really well. It connects people back to the farm. It allows us to get as many happy brides satisfied or as many wholesale customers satisfied as we can, kind of changing up our product availability and how we provide our services.
Yeah. And I think that like the biggest difference between us and a lot of other flower farms that do either ship or our wholesale farms is that we work off color palette, not specific flower. And that's really important because the reality of the situation, which people may or may not know, is today's flower market is like the Wild West. Because it is. You've got COVID, because, you know, our good friend Coco, that's what I call COVID is Coco, because I'm just sick of saying COVID. So Coco came along and canceled all the events, canceled all the flights, which left a bunch of farmers around the world holding the bag with a bunch of product that they couldn't get rid of. And a lot of times, like, they're paying for next season's plants with the money that they, when they sell their flowers. Mm-hmm. So when they have an entire, even if it's a month, if it's 3 months, but you're talking year really where there's no events and nobody's really buying flowers, nobody's really going in the grocery store, so that whole, you know, sales funnel is cut off. It's created some really serious disruptions. We saw a lot of like really sad sites of farms plowing entire fields of crops, just plowed under the ground. They can't get rid of them. And so that has created this trickle-down effect. And today still, and I suspect it to be this way for a while, flowers are skyrocketing in price. It is very stressful for florists to get specific flowers that they need. Because it's one of those situations where you're working with Mother Nature, first of all. So guaranteeing something when there's like a bunch of different sources, that's one thing. But trying to get a guarantee when now we are literally left with the people who were able to survive the pandemic really, really makes it difficult. So it's really kind of a Wild West situation. Then of course, now we're dealing with fuel prices. It's not cheaper to fill up a jet plane to get the flowers here. And so, really American farmers are trying to support the demand, but there's just so few of us, right? So, when you start talking about like these big production farms, what they're doing is a lot of times they're growing, a handful of crops, but in mass, like tons of tulips or tons of ranunculus or tons of carnations. And they can say, I should have, a couple million stems of white. Since we grow 200 varieties of flowers, like we don't like to ever guarantee that we're going to have that specific flower in that specific color on that specific day. So we sell them color palette and we say, okay, if you want the most beautiful flowers you've ever seen, tell us your color palette and we'll give you flowers in that color palette. Instead of saying, I need red roses with pink anemone and this and this and this. Oh, I want it in December. Well, guess what really doesn't grow in December? Anemone, right? So like really bringing out seasonality, and it's changing a buying culture, which is really, really hard. But I think it's necessary. Like it's time for people to start enjoying flowers when they are their happiest, which means they're in season. And so, anemones bloom March through April. Okay. Having one in June, even if you order it in from somewhere, it's never going to look as good as the one that you got in March through April. And so I think that, there's been a lot of like this on-demand culture that we've, thank you, Amazon. I totally blame them for that. on-demand culture honestly does not work for florals. And we've tried to make it work for so long that unfortunately I feel like people just aren't getting the quality flowers that they want and deserve. And maybe they just don't even know better anymore because we've lived in this, like this bubble of, I want what I want when I want it. And I'll take, I got an anemone. Maybe you don't know that anemone is supposed to be four times the size and so much richer in color. And it's supposed to last 3 days, 4 days, 5 days longer because it's not fresh cut at this point. Like it's grown out of season. It's flown in from another country. It's been in the supply chain for 3 weeks and it was cut too, it was cut too early because the demand is so high, like all these things. So it's really like, the color palettes that we work off, yes, it makes us easier. It makes it easier for our business to fulfill orders. But beyond that, it allows us to make sure that people are getting the best possible flowers
I like that note a lot. And I'm thinking through a little bit, as someone that maybe is organizing an event or organizing a wedding, I love that note to go with the flowers that are in season. And I'm hearing, you can order, what you want online, but someone like myself, I just don't know enough about flowers. I'm learning more about it in this podcast than I ever knew before. So if I just like went to online to order, I would be like, I don't know how many I need. Like, how does that? So do you guys do like a consult with event organizers and brides to kind of just walk them through what amount they might need and this kind of helpful information about going with the color palette and flowers in season? So
like we will, you have questions, we have answers, right? Okay. Like if you're like, okay, I have this many things. Now, some things are harder for us to consult on. We're going to give you our best opinion. Because if you're saying, I'm going to make three centerpieces, how many flowers do I need? How big is your centerpiece? right?
I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, like, and that's kind of, it gets a little difficult then. We are going to give you our best professional opinion based on the information provided. But it's a little, you know, it can get a little tough because, like, everybody's vision is a little bit different.
So really what we have done to help with all of that is our, like, YouTube tutorials and demos that kind of show how product and what size of arrangements you can get out of it and what a 10 stem bunch will actually cover. So most of the time we're always here, and sometimes it is literally us answering the phone. But our whole team of floral advocates are here to help problem shoot. But our first line of defense is always to point everybody to our online resources, where we have literally said, okay, you know, this is a mason jar and this is a bunch that we are using to fill it. And this is the size of arrangement that we would get from that one bunch, or this box did all of this. So we kind of give that as far as working through it to show people, and they can be like, okay, well, I could do that. Or, but I would want to add definitely another bunch in there. So let me get another box. But it gives a point of reference when you see someone actually working through the product as to what you can do. Okay, I understand more now. Yeah.
Okay, I like that's very helpful. You also have these amazing things. I had never heard of this before in my entire life. You have flower subscriptions.
Yes.
Come on. Tell us more about that. What in the world? And who came up with this idea? That's genius.
So my mother, her entire life, said that she knows that she had made it when she had fresh flowers delivered to her house every week. Okay. Like, she said that before. And so we were like, well, I bet you're not the only one who thinks that, Ma. So we have flower subscriptions, and there's a couple different ways that we could do this. We do ship some. So we have subscriptions that are available for shipping. And then we have our local pickup subscription. And basically you can choose 3 months, you can choose 6 months, and you get a bouquet every month from us. So,
and you know exactly when they're coming.
Yeah.
And we kind of give everyone the rundown of, like, here's the extra resources and stuff. We see these a lot as gifts, but we also have plenty of people that give themselves their own subscriptions. Mm-hmm. Like, I really, like, listened when you said that makes a difference in how my house looks and feels, and it did. And so I don't want to forget and be empty handed. I'm just setting up the subscription.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we'll hear at the end of the summer, that was the best self-love I did. That felt so good. And it was not just self-care, but it was like whole household care, because you might get them to enjoy them, but everybody else gets to intrinsically kind of appreciate them as well. So yeah, subscriptions have been wonderful. And we offer, like she was saying, we have, you can pick how long you want it to roll. You can have it shipped. We do pickups, subscription day pickups on the farm.
Awesome.
One of our favorite days.
We love, like, our subscriber homies. They're great. I'm just listening. I've had people like, It feels like we have the same people every year plus like 10 more, right?
And it's our diehard awesome people.
Awesome. Like, it's just great. Like, they become your friends, and they're like, you know, they're really awesome friends who don't need a lot from you. They just want their flowers every month, but you get to, like, hang out with them and, like, talk and chat every month. And the next time you see them, it's like you saw them yesterday. Like, they're like awesome friends, and we love them to death.
It's truly like a party on the farm between our farm team and the subscription pickups. There's some special relationships that end up kind of cultivating over the season. So it's like, oh, you know, Cindy's coming. You better make sure that Harley comes out to say hi. It is another way that we have been able to connect. And it's one of the ways that we've been able to connect in person and then also distantly with new people in our community. So we love the subscriptions because it gives us a chance to it's not that first one impression. Like, we get to know you over a period of time. And it's really fun.
There's one of our subscribers that brings cookies with her, and she is a phenomenal baker. Or sometimes it's cake, or sometimes it's pie. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't even matter. Everything is delicious. But I
need
swear,
to go on that day.
The crew, nobody misses. Tribe, like sees her pull in and you just see them like running to the shop. Like she has like, I mean, it's like she has a whole like people chasing her vehicle.
Yeah.
As she comes into the bar.
And like, they applaud her when she pulls.
Yes. They get so, like she has a whole fan club. It's hilarious the way they yeah, she's something special.
The kids want the cookies, I take it.
Yeah. It's all of yeah.
All of you want the cookies.
Young and vibrant.
Who is Harley? Harley's as one of your dogs, right?
She's one of our crew members. She helps run our design table and make all of the bouquets that go out, which is really fun. Like, honestly, as this business has grown, Steph and I have done every single thing. Like, it all starts with us. We do every job, but then it's like, okay, we're too busy doing all the jobs. You have to hand it over. And sometimes it's really hard to hand over and trying to figure out how to hand. Like, I don't know. I just figured out how to put flowers in a box and ship it. And so that was an entrepreneurial challenge for me. Like, you have to be able to share that with your team who wants to help. And the biggest, I think, piece of gratitude I got or like real sense of accomplishment was when I watched a couple of her bouquets go across the table and I said, oh my gosh, they're better than mine.
Oh,
that's wonderful.
Right? Yeah.
I don't keep that internally. I literally tell them like, that is way better than mine. Did you see her bouquet? It's better than mine. I got to level up. No, she's better than me. That's good. But being able to kind of share that she's, and it's funny, we say that the farm sucks you in. Harley's been with us since she was 15.
Wow. She's been designing since she was.
Started at the farm. She's just, she started helping us like planting the plants. And so, and she still does, that as well, but she's also helping us open up the farm to the public this year. And she has been the, we call her the director of agritourism as well. She's been helping us get our pick your own garden set up, and giving more experiences and ways for people to come out and really connect with Harmony Harvest Farm. But yeah, like when people come in, you're like sucked into this family tree.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, let's talk about getting sucked into this family tree. You just mentioned a pick your own garden opening up this summer. Talk about that.
Oh, big plans. Okay. So listen, we're on a roller coaster and it's okay. So we announced last year that we were opening up the farm to the public because traditionally we, you know, we have events, but we weren't just like open on the regular. And we were building a farm shop and opening up a pick your own garden and going to do all these tours and everything is great. You know, and we're still doing all of that. Plans have changed just slightly due to, skyrocketing lumber prices and whatnot, but we're still opening up a farm shop. It looks a little bit different than what it used to, but we are going to have a pick your own garden. We'll have some guided tours available. We're aiming that to be open this summer. Date TBD. They are working on getting some of the first plants into the new pick your own garden. And we're really trying to share literally how flowers allow us to live a better life. So I'm really excited about the pick your own garden that we have coming up because it's going to actually be a throwback to Victory Garden. And we're going to talk about what the Victory Garden was, why that was relevant, what cool things came from that. Like all of our extension services, when you have a garden question in your county and you call that little county extension line, we're going to educate a little bit about that and talk about our new way of running a floral Victory Garden to make some positive change. So it's not just like come, it's just get your flowers and go. We want to make sure that we use that opportunity to tell a little bit more of the story. We're really working on being able to show the farm people. And I understand this. Like, I get the world we live in today, but people don't believe that what they see on Instagram and Facebook is really what it's like at Harmony Harvest. And I'm here to say it absolutely is. Like, please, we're like, people don't believe us. You don't really act like that. You don't really
put on false eyelashes and decked out makeup and go harvest. Yes, I do. Yes, ma'am. Some days that's how I feel like rolling, and I'm going to live the life I want. So we just decided, like, people were saying it can't, you like, life can't be that great. And I was like, absolutely, it can be. In this soil, it absolutely can be. So who am I to keep others from enjoying this awesome life? So we're opening up the farm and sharing that. And it's been like, we are a small but very mighty and feisty group of girls. So we've really been coordinating what that looks like to share our farm that we have not had the public to with the world. And, you know, working out, trying to figure out, you know, we have a really awesome store planned. The timeline got changed, which is hard, but we're still opening up a farm store, and we're still doing that this year. And it just might be a plan B, and working on kind of that, like, this is the world that we live in. So we know what the end goal, and we will get to that end goal. The route might change a little bit on how we get there. And you know what's really awesome? Because my sister and I will say this farm store minor delay is a very fresh thing for us. And my sister and I have been very in this project, and it stung us pretty hard. And I don't think there could be a more comforting or soothing thought than every single member of that farm family team saying, yeah, it's a bummer, but you know what? We can make this a blessing in disguise. And I have a plan. Like, I hear your plan, and I think I can help and do this. And it was like, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
So when we wanted to get a little in our feels, like, that's not fair, they said, who cares if it's fair? We're going to make the best, and we're going to make something awesome happen, and we'll still get there. So that's what we're doing. And it's a group of us, right? And my sister, my mom, and I, we might be at the helm of this. We are leading this thing, but it feels so good to do this as a group, as a team, and to see it, whether it is literally the crew that is helping us pull it off in the daily trenches, whether it is the network within the community. I've learned about so many different business connections that I didn't know existed in my own community. And I feel like they're part of our story too, to, you know, our flower enthusiasts, our customers. I just feel like we're building something that's so much bigger than a business. It is literally the life I love. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be able to share what we're doing here, physically, and then even, you know, digitally.
I love it. So much of flexibility is your friend in that answer. So much, yes, of it. Just beautiful. Yes. Where is, yeah, this farm located exactly in the Shenandoah Valley? So people can plan their summer visit to pick their own garden. Where are you exactly?
So we are 201 Little Run Road, which is right next to the Shenandoah Valley Regional Airport. And that's in Weir's Cave. It's right off of 81 by the Blue Ridge Community College exit. So it's, you know, heading towards the little town of Grottoes. You'll get to see some small airplanes that take off as you wind back the gravel road, and the big red bank barn and the fields of flowers await you when you turn the bend. It's, yes, a pretty magical,
yes,
utopia. In fact, the first thing everybody does when they come to the farm, and this is why we have to open it to the public, usually they don't turn off the car or shut the door. They get out and they immediately take a picture. And I'm like, welcome to my corner office, because there is nothing more magical than the uninterrupted Shenandoah Valley views we have dotted and framed amongst flower fields.
Yeah, I will say, it's one of those places that you're going to drive down a gravel road like, are you sure there's a farm back? And yes, there, so you're going to, but you really come around the bend and you're like, oh my God, there it is. And it is very picturesque. Like, we got very lucky with that property, because, like, literally you have an amazing view of the mountains with this, you know, the flower fields. And when you drive in, you're kind of like on a hill, so you can kind of see down over everything. And it's a pretty special plot of land for sure.
Oh, I'm excited about that. And before we wrap up, though, I just have this burning question that I have to have an answer to. I don't know what a victory garden is. Can you just give us a summary of that before we wrap up?
So it was actually a World War effort that the government used to help us self-sustain, where they helped people plant backyard gardens for produce. And with it, to feed yourself, because rations are lean as a country, and share with your neighbor in your community, and canning resources, all of the extension programs, people who do soil testing, all of those programs were stemmed by this government-led victory garden during a war era of our time. And when a lot of people I'm so sorry.
You're good.
People were really living more hand to mouth. And, you know, well before the context of what we're living in now, there's a lot of interest in getting back to more sustainable methods and kind of looking back at what we did in prior generations. So all of that eating off of your backyard garden, enjoying flowers from your backyard garden, being able to feed into the community. Now we see these programs evolve into community gardens, but it's very much along that same original model. And as an American flower farm, and being one of the few that has a very loud voice, we thought, what better way to represent kind of the beauty of Americana agriculture in having a flower-focused victory garden for our pick your
own. And I'll add, too, that a lot of these victory gardens back in the day, it was targeted at the women. The women doing the work.
Yep.
Right? And as a flower farm that has a, with the exception of our one part-time evening helper, is 100% women ran, it just makes sense. Like, it's a cool connection.
I love it. Oh, this has been so amazing. As we wrap up here, can you share with the laughers how they can follow Harmony Harvest Farm on social media or otherwise to get more information about you beautiful people?
Yes. Okay. Instagram is our play sandbox. We'll just call it a playpen sandbox, whatever. That's where we like to get in costume and make funny reels and, you know, show pretty pictures of the farm. We also share a lot on Facebook. So, you know, if you want to attend an event or want to know what's, you know, kind of going on in the local scene, highly recommend following us on Facebook. And then if you really want to get like hardcore, which I would strongly recommend, you can go to hhfshop.com. and sign up for our newsletter. We call it the Weekly Bunch. And when you're on the list, you're officially a bunchy. And the best thing about the Weekly Bunch is this is where I am a rebellious child and like to drop coupon codes that mom doesn't know about until the newsletter's gone and out. And she's like, why? Mm-hmm. So it's my place where I get to, you know, be a bad kid, but a good friend. You know what I mean?
That's good.
We just lived our best 90s childhood in through our entire adult life.
Going.
Like, I love the fact that my mom is in charge of money and I still have to, like, well, I have to ask my mom. And I mean it. And I love that. Like, mom, can I have some money?
Yeah.
I love it. Like, I love being a permanent kid.
I think she perverted back in the day, though, when we were like, mom, can we have $20 versus like,
yeah,
mom, can I have this amount of money that I never thought I'd ever ask you for?
Yeah. The request might have changed a little bit, but it's still a really crazy, fun mom, daughter, sister dynamic that seems to work well.
I love it. Thank you so much, Jessica and Stephanie. This has been absolutely delightful and so super fun being with both of you today so that you could share with the laughers all things about living a better life through flowers. Thank you again so, so much for being on today.
Thank you for having us. This has been so fun.
Yes, it has. Laughers, you can get more information on buying flowers for you, your weddings, or any occasion at hhfshop.com. That's hhfshop.com. There you can also buy their mum growing course, merch, frogs, flower hairpin holders, or a flower subscription. Flowers are also available for pickup at the Shen Valley store in Weir's Cave or for delivery within 10 miles of their farm. We'll also be sure to put their website and information in the show notes as well. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, Laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.